Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And this is your host, Veronica Monet. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. We're going to take a little departure tonight. We usually talk about sexuality or relationships. Sometimes we talk about money and other things people are ashamed of. Well, tonight we're not going to be talking about shame, although you know what? We might touch upon it somehow, kind of tangentially. But favorite topic of mine, I am a dog lover, and I saw this guy on YouTube, and he just amazed me. I'm a huge dog whisperer fan. And I've decided that Ben Kersen should be teaching the dog whisperer. So I don't know how he does it, but he could take five huge dogs down a beach with all kinds of distractions, other dogs, other animals, people, and they don't look like they are in any way tamping down their joy, their spontaneity. They're just having a fabulous time. And when he stops, they stop. And anyway, we're going to find out how he does it. So, Ben, I know that you're in Victoria tonight. I'm pretty sure up in Canada.
That's right.
Well, welcome to the Shame Free Zone. I really appreciate the fact that you agreed to do tonight's show. And I would like to start off maybe with a little bit of background. How long have you been training dogs? Or is training the word that you would use?
We can use the word training. I mean, there's all kinds of expressions used for getting a dog to cooperate, not chew up the household, but training is as good a word as any.
Okay. Well, so this video that I saw, this YouTube, you call it Ben Kersen and the Wonder Dogs Training LTD, and the website is www.wonderdogs.ca, and you are out of Victoria, B.C. in Canada. So, how did you do it? You're not using any kind of electronic collar that I could see, or whistle. As a matter of fact, I didn't even see you do any hand commands. It's just like they seem to be syncing with you and kind of following your lead and having a great time.
Well, you're right in saying that we don't use any kind of electric training. I take pride in not using any what's referred to as e-collars. I know they're very popular in some circles. So between that and food, I do use food for young puppies, and sometimes I'll use it for a dog that's never had any training.
Right.
That would be very brief, or it would be a last resort. So, yeah, we should maybe open up with that.
That
what I'm doing is quite different.
Yeah, well, I could tell it's quite different, and you seem to be getting very, very different results. So here's what really strikes me with a lot of training techniques. It seems to me that the dog either gets food obsessed, so that they're constantly looking for where the treat is, or they get kind of aversive, where they're actually fearful and trying to avoid scolding or something like that. And thirdly, I've noticed a lot of times well-trained dogs will sometimes be less joyful, less happy. Your dogs, to me, seem like they were just having a really laid-back, good time. And that, to me, I've actually never seen anything like that. So, to have that combination where they're having a great time and they're being incredible, their behaviors predictable. So do you want to talk about that a little bit? How are you able to achieve this?
Well, you just tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Once I get going, there's no stopping me. I'm like a freight train. And, you know, I'm often used to shorter interviews that are packed full of commercials, so I'm usually, like, you know, blah, 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 very fast, and then deep breath to allow somebody else to have a turn. But, yeah, just cut me off when...
No, no, we're gonna give you the floor here today. I got lots of questions for you, but because I've had dogs now just for, I guess, about 13 years, something like that.
Okay, super.
And I've made lots of mistakes.
You know, haven't we all? It's you know, it's like anything. Sometimes you make it up as you go, and you learn as you go. So let me come back to your initial question. I started this in late 1979. I was just a young buck, and I just started with a dog of my own. He was a huge Doberman, and you know, he was the most laid-back, friendly dog. I kind of inherited him from my roommate. The dog just started following me around. And after, you know, a few weeks, my roommate, Bob, said, why don't you just keep this dog and I'll get another one? And I said, no, that's ridiculous. I said, he's your dog. And he, you know, he just insisted. He said, I'm going to get a young puppy and you just keep him. So that was my first dog as an adult. And I just, you know, people ask how I learned dog training. Well, I had an injury. I had quite a serious back injury, so I was between jobs for a couple months, and I had time on my hands, and within a very short time, 2 months, this dog had a whole repertoire of behaviors and commands, and then people in my immediate neighborhood started asking me to train their dogs. I was 19 going on 20, and, you know, I just trained like 3 dogs in my neighborhood, and I did some advertising, but very little back then. It was mainly just word of mouth. So that's how I got started. And then I went overseas, went on a big, long trip, actually did some dog training while I was in Europe and the Middle East, but didn't really get started till I was here in Victoria, fall of 1982. That's when I really hit the ground running, and my businesses took off. So that's a little history on how I got started. And
so basically, because you were out of commission, had a back injury, and your friend's dog adopted you.
Exactly. He just started following me like my shadow. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, Bob just said, you know, you take him because he's so bonded with you. And, you know, of course I said, no, you know, I felt terrible. But he insisted, and he came home with a puppy, with an 8-week-old puppy, which kind of, you know, said, that's it, I've made my decision.
Yeah. Well, you know, if your dog doesn't like you.
It wasn't that he didn't like him. He liked him, but I've always had this real connection with dogs, and I often play like a dog. And when I was younger, I think I used to do it more, you know, just the roughhousing, and dogs just eat that up. You can see some of it in my video clips that are online on YouTube, you know, just the hand play, the quick movements, quick bursts of speed, and anything that mimics a dog's play, especially those quick jerky movements. That's how they play. They play very fast. And, you know, when you're doing that, you're tapping into their instincts and behaviors that go back thousands of years before humans were even on the scene.
Yes, yes, exactly. Now, I know some people believe that the humans and the dogs have been evolving next to each other for so long that it would be kind of hard to tell what either species would be like without the other.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into a whole, we could open up a whole can of worms with that conversation, but what I'd like to come back to is what you asked earlier. How do I do it? And how do I do it? There's 4 separate answers to that question, but tonight I'd like to focus on the what I call pack and motion concept. In Pack in Motion, we also refer to it as Run Club, because every Saturday morning we're putting that concept into practice at something we call Run Club. So if I say one or the other, basically the same thing. And what it is doing essentially is, again, tapping into their instincts that go back, you know, thousands of years. And the whole Run Club concept, if any of the listeners want a visual, just go to my website. And I think in the States there's... you can get the one that says Ben Bennett at Run Club at Mount Doug. That one, there's no music. On the other one, that's the really cool one with me on the bike, that it sounds like you may have seen, there's a Black Eyed Peas soundtrack there, and I believe some of the U.S. listeners are not able to access that. Did you have trouble accessing that one?
I didn't get a Black Eyed Peas soundtrack, no.
Interesting. Did you see me on the bike down, like, you know, by the beach?
Part of it. I saw you jogging, and I also saw you on a bike, yeah.
Okay, the one jogging up a little hill or mountain?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one nobody should have problems accessing. So if any of the listeners want a visual, just go to YouTube, and what you're looking for is Run Club, either Ben and the Run Club pack at Mount Doug, or the one simply called Run Club, which is the one that may be problematic, which we've been meaning to change without the Black Eyed Peas.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Although, we love the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, no question about that.
Especially Fergie.
Yeah. So, in any case, back to the concept and how it works. The concept in itself is, like, the basic fundamentals of the concept are, there's no rocket science to it. It's really, really simple. But yet, as I've progressed with this concept over the past 2 years, I keep realizing that there's more to it than meets the eye. And I started to document it over the past 2 years and actually came up with quite a lot of material, you know, little things that can make or break success. But the bottom line is the whole Pack in Motion concept revolves around bringing a new dog, adult dog, young puppy, doesn't matter, bringing a new dog into the pack. Now, the pack can be two or three dogs. Doesn't have to be, you know, a pack of 20. Just a few dogs that know me. Like, you know, I have two dogs, and so if I bring a third or fourth dog that I know are really tight, you know, for example, my chiropractor's dog is here right now at my place. He, you know, he's here usually once a week hanging out, sometimes more. And so if I'm in motion with three dogs and I bring a new dog into the picture, a dog that doesn't know me from a hole in the ground, if the dog's aggressive with other dogs, if it's super, super timid, this may not work so well, or it may take time. But let's say it's a well-adjusted dog that's not afraid of its shadow, and it's not aggressive with other dogs. The average dog, after doing two 20-minute sessions of the Pack in Motion concept, this dog can see me or catch my scent from across a football field months later. Again, it's only met me twice, right? And
yeah.
It catches my scent, and it's just going bananas at the end of the leash because it wants to be with me. So how does it work? There's two principles. Number one is speed. I've discovered that when I'm walking, this concept can work, but it doesn't work nearly as well as when I'm running or even better on a bike. There's something about the speed that makes the dogs cuckoo. When I'm going back and forth, that's number one. Number two is when I'm going back and forth across a football field, I have found it doesn't work so well. Vice versa, when I'm going from point A to B a few kilometers, what you guys call miles, it's just amazing. Something clicks in the vast majority of dogs. Something clicks in their mind, and they just love it. So then you can start to break it down. You can start to either go slower or not do such distance. And once dogs are geared into this, and once they decide they like it, they get in their head that this is the end-all and be-all, it's pretty amazing what can happen. The owner can come. The owner at first will have them in their car where the dog can't catch their scent or hear them. And, you know, after doing this two or three times, the owner can be standing right there. This is the owner that's known the dog, raised it since it's 8 weeks old, and the dog won't even look at the owner when I'm around. It's a little embarrassing. It's like, hey, go see your mom. Go see your dad. It's like, no, I want to be with you.
Oh, God, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, without taking up the whole hour yakking, that is the foundation for the Pack in Motion Run Club.
So let me see if this Pack in Motion Run Club, is that what you call it?
Yep.
Pack in Motion Run Club. It almost sounds to me like you are creating yourself as the treat.
Yes. Now, you know, Cesar Millan has, you know, used this concept with dogs to exercise. And sure, you know, I've been running with my own dogs for years, but I don't know, you know, I'll be honest, I don't study what every other trainer does, including Cesar Millan. I've never heard of a trainer using this as a training tool. I'm using it as a training tool for my clients, where if they can't run, I get them on a bike. And, bottom line is that after doing this a few times, I can have no dogs with me, and the dog will still stick to me like crazy glue. And I'm talking like really big distractions. We are out in the middle of, you know, the provincial parks here. There's the scent of squirrel, rabbit, deer, you name it, other dogs. And sometimes not just the scent. Sometimes we'll actually see a deer. And,
right.
It's pretty amazing what happens.
So you actually, and the dogs don't want to chase? They just stay with you?
They have a crazy desire to stay with the pack. You have to see it to really believe it and appreciate the concept. You have
wow.
to action how powerful it is. It's in fact, if any of the listeners are taking notes here, just try it. You know, if you don't have any physical limitations, you're able to bike in an area where there's no vehicles around, just try it for 20 minutes one day, 20 minutes the next, where you can really get some speed. Sometimes people are afraid to get on their bike when they have a small dog, and rightfully so. If you have a small dog or even a mid-sized dog or big dog, some
right.
dogs, you know, you have to bump them with that front tire a couple times going at a slow speed. They need to learn the bike is a danger zone, but that's a whole different conversation. If we have any listeners that are rollerbladers or they're good runners, you know, just so long as that speed is there and the distance, all I'm saying here, people, is try it 20 minutes one day, 20 minutes the next, and the third day, watch your dog's reaction when you head outside or to the same area that you've done the concept already. That for the average dog, it's remarkable, just remarkable how fast it works.
So, okay, so this must be the key ingredient here, is the fact that you are traveling fast. Because, like, I take my dog out for walks, and she's got a boyfriend who comes to visit once in a while. And when the two of them are out walking with me, they get the scent of a deer, and they take off and leave me behind.
What I'd recommend to the listeners or to yourself the first time you're trying this, do it in a lower distraction area where there's no rabbit or deer. I've been doing this a long time, and I can meet a dog for the first time, and I can look at its age. For example, a young puppy that's, you know, 3-4 months of age, well, we're going to do a very short run club, if it's a young puppy, or a slower one. But I know that dog is not going to be taking off after a rabbit or deer. They're going to want to stay with the pack, right? So to really get into that one, that's going to take a little more time. But one thing I want to come back to is if any of the listeners can go out with a friend, family member, coworker that has a dog, even two dogs is better than just one dog. But if that's not possible, just go out with your dog alone and you'll still see results. Maybe not as fast as if there's two or three dogs. But after the second, third, fourth day, the average dog, I'm telling you, they just eat this up like it's kitty litter. Kitty litter, catnip is what I'm looking for here.
Okay.
You don't want kitty litter today. No kitty litter.
Although sometimes, my dog does get into the cat litter. So, now, to your knowledge, are there other dog trainers that are doing this particular model?
To my knowledge, no. I've never heard of another trainer. Remember that pretty much all of the stuff that I'm using, I've just pulled out of the air, starting with that first Doberman in 79. And I use the word no for things, you know, say a dog, you know, jumps up on the owner, rakes with the claws, or bites the owner's ankle, or pees on the sofa. You know, I have some similarities to other trainers. Use the word no, reward them when they do something right. So I'm not saying that all my stuff is completely 100% different, but many of my training concepts are very, very different from anything you'll see or hear because I've never learned under anybody else. That's how most trainers learn. They apprentice under somebody, and that person apprenticed under somebody else, and that's why some dog training concepts, the fundamental principles, have not changed since World War I. You know, it's somebody learning under somebody and passing on for years.
Okay, but this, here's the thing that I think you are really developing to a higher form, a higher art form than is usually practiced. Because, you know, in the past, of course, a lot of training techniques have been more disciplinarian. And gradually we've gotten, you know, to positive rewards, got away from correcting and punishing, and we got into positive rewards. But it just seems to me like, in a lot of ways, what you're doing is creating tremendous freedom for these dogs. A lot of freedom and a lot of joy.
Well, with this, remember, we have four basic principles that we use to get, to enjoy the relationship, to have some control, to not have to worry about the dog hightailing after the closest distraction.
Right.
So this one principle, and with this one principle, the beauty of it is there is no correction. You know, there's no negative stuff. There's not even commands, per se. You're making noise to get the dog's attention, just calling their name, et cetera, or making a high-pitched noise, which we'll get to later on. But for people that are looking for positive training without food, tell you what, folks, there's not much out there. If you look around on the Internet, you're just not going to find a lot of positive training unless it involves toys. So that is something maybe we can discuss if we have time today, but that is one of the four principles that we use to gain a dog's attention, keeping the training fun. It's something else that's very powerful for dogs. When a toy is used correctly, it also can work, reap amazing dividends.
So you use food, you use toys, you use motion and speed, right?
Yeah, coming back to the whole pack and motion concept, you've got your speed, you've got your distance, but like I said, there's little things that can make or break success. The average person, when their dog, they're out with their dog, imagine two of your listeners, let's say Susie and Bob get together tomorrow and they try this. So Susie gets on her bike and Bob's on his bike and away they go with their two dogs, and Susie's dog stops and sniffs at a tree. And what do you think Susie's natural reaction would be when she's cruising at an average speed on her bike and her dog just stops? What do you think Susie would do?
Probably yell at the dog to keep going.
Or
stop herself. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. That would never occur to me.
It wouldn't occur to most people because you got to think like a dog. Imagine yourself in that wolf pack or, a pack of wild dogs in Africa, and the pack's in motion. Now, the head wolf or lead dog sees the runt of the litter or one of the pups stalled. They're not going to stop and, cajole them to come back. They're
yeah.
Keep going, right? Keep going, and their whole survival instinct kicks in because that pup that stopped knows instinctively, nobody has to teach it or give it a talking to, that pup knows that if it breaks away from the pack and it's on its own, even for a few minutes or hours, it may become a pack dinner for a different pack or a cougar dinner, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a very deep-rooted thing we're talking, to stay with the pack. It's been ingrained for, since time began.
Okay. Yeah, so it wouldn't occur to me to stop if my dog stopped. I would just keep going because I would expect that my dog would, catch up with me. So I have seen some of that in action. Definitely, if you keep going, the dog does not want to be separated from the pack. So that's what you're capitalizing on then.
Yes, you're in an area where, again, there's no traffic. You don't have to worry about that. If you have a dog that has an established history of chasing cats, birds, livestock, wildlife, this would obviously be a real bad idea. Unless it's an area that there's some areas that have, I can name one or two areas right in my city that have, it's a big fenced area. It's
right.
It goes on for, about 1,000 feet, something like that, 500 feet.
Uh-huh.
If you have a dog that is a runner, we wouldn't be able to start with this concept. In fact, I shouldn't say that. You would really have to know what you're doing to start a dog like that. We had a dog come to us, Ian Fraser is this, with animal control here in Victoria. He actually runs the show. He brought us a dog, Diesel, that he had in his possession. The owner, you know, he kept running away from home, and finally the owner, young guy, just said, forget it. And Ian came to me with this dog, and we videotaped the whole thing, brought Diesel out twice for Run Club. And again, we have all this on tape. This dog is a known runner. He's got a history of bolting and taking off from the pack.
Okay.
And two sessions, 30 minutes each, even a known bolter like Diesel will want to stay with the pack. And the reason we videotaped it is, you know, most people, they just won't believe it. So like a lot of our footage, there's no breaks in the footage. It's unedited footage.
Right.
Anybody watching it can tell it's the real deal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely you can. So you rehabilitated or trained his dog then?
Well, again, it wasn't his dog. He's with animal control here in Victoria.
Oh, okay.
He impounded Diesel because Diesel kept taking off.
Oh.
Right? And,
yeah.
So we used Diesel as an extreme example just to show what can happen with the concept, even with a dog that is a known runner.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So, so let me see, just to summarize. Known runner, but what you do is you used speed, distance, and a toy with this dog?
No, there was no toy involved with it. Now, the toy is a different concept altogether.
Okay, so toy goes with what kind of training then? That does not go with the pack.
No, so just to summarize a little bit what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
The last point we were on before we got somewhat sidetracked was when the dog stops, many owners, just like you see kids in the store, you know, little toddlers and are 1 or 2 years old, what does the parent do when the toddler takes off down the aisle? They chase them, okay? If the parent didn't chase them but moved in the opposite direction, they can still see their little one. They're like 100 feet away. It's not like the kid's, you know, completely gone out of sight. But if the parent moved away in the opposite direction, and believe me, I've tried this, my little ones were, you know, I'd go into a store and they'd stick right by my side. It's the exact same concept we're using with dogs. So you continue to move away from them. In fact, anytime they're not paying attention, watching you, you move away from them. Okay?
Okay.
And so what happens is it almost becomes a game that every time they're not paying attention or looking away, you move away. Now, ideally, you'll be in an area where you can see them at a great distance. If you're on a trail, hopefully it's not a windy trail. If it's, you know, fields that are wide open, that's ideal because you can see what they're doing from distance. So you're moving away at a good clip, and just wait. If your dog's running in the opposite direction, you can start making noise. What kind of noise? A high pitch, woo-woo-woo, carries the best. That's going to carry a distance or a shrill whistle. If okay.
High-pitched, woo-woo-woo, okay?
Okay, so that, you know, but don't stop. Keep going, albeit slower. You might want to slow down a little bit, make some noise.
So while you're running away.
Exactly, that's
the make the noise.
That is the ticket right there. Don't stop and turn around and go chasing after them. Keep going. If you have a small pack with you, even, you know, 2 or 3 dogs or a couple people with you.
Okay.
The average dog will want to get back with that pack right quick.
Very interesting. So how did you figure this out?
Just by observing. Over the years, I just keep, you know, observing what dogs do with each other. I watch how they play with each other. When I'd be running with my own dogs or, you know, I have friends, relatives, clients that, you know, they'll have their dog, you know, stay here for a week, you know, a month sometimes. And each dog that is with us, just observing how they interact with my own dogs, and when we're moving, again, just, you know, trying to get inside their mind. It's like, what are they thinking at this very moment, right? And if the dog
chases,
I go chasing after it, what am I teaching it?
Okay. All right. So, but this is very different than trying to be the leader of the pack in a kind of a domineering way.
Well, you're totally being a leader of the pack.
Yes, you are. But don't you think that you're more like the squeaky toy? I mean, you're making yourself irresistible and fascinating.
You're only going to make noise if you have to with the high voice. And the reason that you're thing. You can use a low voice if the dog's within earshot, you know, but when you're at a distance, especially if there's a wind blowing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
We have ocean here in Victoria. We often would do run club down at the beach, and that's where the high voices or the shrill whistle is so important because it carries further. But anyhow, back to, you know, moving away. It's not just moving away, but you've got what we call changing direction. So, you know, the pack's moving, and boom, suddenly, you know, the pack is going in an opposite direction. And the best time to do this, again, is when a newcomer dog is not paying attention for a few seconds, right?
Huh.
Suddenly,
okay.
Going in the opposite direction, and the dog looks up from the blade of grass it's sniffing, and suddenly the pack's 100 feet away. Most dogs at that point will start beelining to catch up, right?
Okay.
So change direction. And now another one is hide and seek. All of the listeners can do this, whether they're practicing these concepts or not. Just do it when you're out for a walk with your dog. And again, you're in a low traffic area, or no traffic, I should say. Your dog's not a runner. You know, it's not a dog that bolts after livestock or wildlife. You're out with your dog. It's up ahead on the trail, 50
okay.
feet, doesn't matter. As soon as your dog's not watching you for a couple seconds, duck behind a wall, a rock bluff, a tree, and anywhere where you can see your dog. You can peek out. You can see what they're doing. If they're running in the opposite direction, make some noise. Give them a hint. Let them know what's going on. And, you know, once they find you, just praise them up. Good puppy. And then try it again within the next few minutes, next hiding spot you come to. If you practice this, just, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you keep doing it every chance you get for 20 or 30 minutes, do it for 3 days. Many dogs, after 3 days, are watching their owner like their very life depends on it.
Wow.
So, hide-and-seek can be intertwined with the pack-and-motion concepts, with the change direction, with the keep going, don't stop when they stall. Okay, all of these things are exactly what the lead wolf would do, right? It's a very, think about it, when you clip your dog on leash and you walk out the door and you follow your dog, you're not being much of a lead wolf, are you?
No, uh-uh.
Right, when they're following you, they are... Suddenly you're regulating them to a secondary position. You're the leader. You're basically saying to them, follow me. So without doing any alpha rolling or growling or staring them down, you're very much assuming the role of the lead wolf.
Okay, so the only way, though, that you can get your dog to follow you is if you are jogging or on a bike, right?
Or rollerblades. Again, you can do this walking fast, but it's very difficult to see fast results with it.
Yeah.
Let's face it, this concept is not practical for a lot of people that have any problems with running, which is, you know, many people can't run.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like we lost Ben there.
Still there?
Oh, there you are.
Thanks.
I thought all those crickets ate you or something.
Yeah. No, they're friendly. Many adults haven't been on a bike for 20 or 30 years, and I've put some clients on a bike, and they kind of freeze up. So let's call them.
That's funny.
The concept is not for all dog owners. For those that can do it,
yeah,
it really, really works. For those that are not able to, well, we'll have to discuss some other methods.
Okay. All right. So, and once again, this, what do you call it when they're running down, running with you? You call it that a dog pack and...
Oh, the pack in motion concept.
Pack in motion.
Yeah, and again, Run Club is what we do every Saturday where we're practicing these concepts. Now, I've only been doing this, like I said earlier, for 2 years. I've been, you know, doing all kinds of training for 3 decades now. But it's only been 2 years that I started experimenting with these concepts. And at first I thought it was a fluke. I thought, you know, it's a young puppy, so it's following me. Or
sure.
Friendly lab, it's 3 years old, and it's super friendly, and it likes other dogs, so it's just a coincidence. So then I started experimenting with it, and I even had staff that were skeptics. They were like, nah, this doesn't work really. And so then I would take their dogs out, 20 minutes each, and these were like some wild dogs. And, you know, Heather, who works for me, she and her husband, they're training dogs for the police, and these are high, high-energy German Shepherds. So, you know, I took her dog, Kime, out 3 months after it had been out with me 20 minutes twice. And 3 months later, Kime wouldn't even look at Sean or Heather when I was standing there. Wouldn't even look at them.
And the reason is because the dog is anticipating that you are going to take it in this really fun, fun ride, right? And they just can't wait to follow you.
Or if I'm standing still, they're staring at me thinking, gee, I wonder if he's going to, get going, go into motion. So it's almost like they don't want to miss that opportunity. And
okay.
They're just staring at me like their life depends on it.
Now, is this part of when you talk about changing direction, playing hide and seek, you're kind of programming the dog, I guess, to anticipate that you're unpredictable.
Exactly.
And that they need to keep an eye on you or they're going to lose you.
Have you ever been with your parents when you were a young wee thing? And, let me give you this example. Let me turn this around. I was with my parents in 1967. I grew up in a small town. In 1967, Man and His World, Expo 67, Montreal, Quebec, where I grew up. And so here I am in a huge city, Montreal, and I'm standing there for the first time in my life, thousands of people all around me. And I'm holding my father's hand, and I'm going, wow, this is exciting. I look up, and the hand that I'm holding, I realize, is some other dude. It's not my father.
Horrible. How old were you?
I was 7 years old, and I'll never forget that feeling. It's like my heart was normally here, and now it's like up in my throat.
Yeah.
So a couple of seconds later, there's my father, and it's all good. But what I'm saying is the dogs, the whole separation anxiety thing and the whole, wanting to stay with a pack, that's what you're tapping into here, and it is remarkable once you discover it.
Wow. So I would love to know what people are, by the way, I tried to access your website. It's down for some reason right now. But once again, I just want to mention that to other people who may be in Canada. Maybe I just can't get through to your website because I'm in the U.S. wonderdogs.ca. That's wonderdogs.ca.
It's actually wonderdogs.bc.ca.
Oh, that's why. That's not .bc.ca.
Yeah, BC for British Columbia, CA for Canada.
Uh-huh.
In a day or two, all going well, you will be able to type in wonderdogs.ca, and you'll get the website, but that's something we're working on today.
Okay, that would be, I ended up getting a placeholder for your, and it said Wonder Dogs, but it wouldn't bring up the website. So I'll go to this other one right now, which is www.wonderdogs.bc.ca. So I'm wondering what other people have had to say about this. I know when I saw it, I'm like, I haven't seen anything like it before. And are you getting a lot of attention? Have you done a lot of media for this?
I've done some media on my website. You'll see a few radio interviews, CKNW.
Is this under photos and videos?
Yeah. Yes, it is. CKNW is a big talk show station out of Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
We recently did a show with them. It was really well received. But I just want to say again that how is it being received, for example, here with clients in Victoria? Again, it's not for everybody. A lot of clients, even though I tell them, or it's on the website, saying, you don't have to run, you can sit in your car, let me do the legwork. A lot of clients don't really get that. I think they're afraid that I'm going to make them run or bike, and, some people are just not comfortable with that. So I just want to say that again, that this is an amazing concept, and I'm just blown away by not just how well it works, but how much fun it is. It's like, it's so cool for me to take up a whole pack of dogs. I can have 3 dogs with me, 1 dog, I can have, 16 dogs with me, and to have their owners standing right there, and I just walk away without saying one word, and these dogs are just glued to my side, to have that happen is amazing considering I've used no food, no tug toy, no ball, squeaky toy. So it is a really fun concept, and it's...
I can only imagine the owners must just be flabbergasted. They must just feel like, I'm feeding and taking care of this dog, and look at him. He's just over there wanting to be with you.
I know. We had a dog, Johnny. Karen and George brought Johnny here 2-3 weeks ago now.
Okay.
And this dog, he's an 18-month male German Shepherd. He was pretty good with people, a little bit timid, but, deathly afraid of other dogs. And Man, I wish I would videotape this just to have a testimony, but after 10 minutes, we had this dog where he was comfortable with our dogs. We had three or four dogs here that day, and this is 2-3 weeks later, last Saturday, just a few days ago now, I had Johnny here, and the owners could take off, and he was totally fine with the pack. So the run club concept can also make a dog that has no confidence really come around, because when the dogs are not in Johnny's face staring at him with the eye contact, but they're moving, it's like, hey, where are they going? And it's kind of long to get into, but even for aggressive dogs too, the whole thing can be used as a training tool, not just to keep dogs with, but to change behavior as well.
Yeah. It just seems like the your approach to me is revolutionary, but it's interesting. I don't think I'm over on your website. It doesn't look like I don't know that everybody gets it. That I think a lot of people are maybe still looking at how you can control the animal. And I one of the things I notice is just how much fun these dogs are having. A lot of times when dogs are going through training, like I had a German Shepherd, I took him through basic twice, intermediate, and then he got a personal trainer. And yes, he learned things, but it's not like he was having a great time doing it.
No, I mean, a lot of dogs hear the word come, and what do they want to do? They want to go.
Yes, exactly. They're like, oh, no. It's kind of like, you know, the joke when the wife says to the husband, honey, we need to talk.
Exactly. So, no, I noticed that some owners, by the time they come to me and their dog's a year or two old, when they say the word come, you can almost see the dog going, oh, my goodness, not this again. So, yeah, you need to keep training fun. And that said, you need training to be solid. I mean, Corey's a client of mine from 15 years ago. She now has a puppy that's 6 months old, and, you know, she's coming back for round two. But I'll never forget what she said, 15-odd years ago. She's on the Trans-Canada Highway with Fawn. She went into a store just out of Revelstoke, just a tiny town, went into a store to grab something, and, you know, Fawn was in the car. She came out just 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, and she gets to her car. Fawn's not there. She starts calling her dog, and to her horror, she sees Fawn coming towards her from the other side of the Trans-Canada. It's just a two-lane highway. But
oh, my God.
She said that she had microseconds to shout down with everything that she possessed, and she said Fawn dropped into a down, trucks and cars went by till she could cross that road and get her, and she says to this day she believes that the training that she received saved her dog's life. So it's important that we have fun with our dogs. It's important we keep it positive. We all want that. But that said, we need training that really, really works. It's not, you know, it works sometimes or works when the dog's in a good mood. And, I can't emphasize that strongly enough, that really tight training means we don't have to sit there wondering and agonizing, you know, how the dog's going to react or if they're going to respond.
So her dog's in a precarious situation where it's getting ready to cross the road and run towards her, and she tells him down, or she does a hand signal for down?
Both. We teach our clients that when they really want top results, they're going to use body language with the spoken command.
Okay.
And on some of the video clips that are on YouTube, you'll see that, whether it's my clients working with their dogs or me working with a dog, you'll see a lot of body language in the form of hand signals.
I'm thinking this may be one of the things that you're really tapping into here, is that you seem to be very embodied. And, of course, dogs are, too. That's how they communicate. They don't, you know, of course they bark and they growl, but mostly they use body language. Their bodies kind of point, you know, in this direction. It's like when my dog wants me to do something, she doesn't bark or growl. She comes up to me and, you know, pushes into me, nuzzles me, then turns, kind of points out. She wants, you know, she's going in this direction like she wants me to follow her. It's their communication, I think, is very body-centric. So it seems like you are doing a couple things here. One, speaking their language, and two, really tapping into where the reward is for them. And it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're saying that the reward for the dog is being with the pack and also running. It, you know, the running is in of itself a reward.
Absolutely. I mean, dogs, you watch them play with another dog, and, you know, after all these years in this line of work, that's still one of my greatest joys, is watching dogs run in any capacity, whether they're playing with another dog or beside the bike or what have you. And, you know, you can just see them smiling when they're in motion. So, yeah, you're tapping into something that's very instinctual. Yes, you're using body language, specifically moving away from them.
Yeah.
But the other thing is just the joy factor. I mean, yeah, just seeing a dog running with its ears flapping in the wind, I get such a kick out of it. And
well, I think this is every dog owner's dream, actually. But then, of course, the nightmare is, like myself, you know, I had two German Shepherds, and they were running off of leash one day. And I live in the Tahoe National Forest. We've got miles and miles of forest without roads. But we happened to be within about a half a mile of a road, not a terribly busy road either. We're way up in the woods, but about a half a mile from it, and my my dog took off running towards in the direction of the road, and I, like so many dog owners, yelled, "Stop! No!" And my dog actually took a moment to decide if she was going to comply with my command or not, and she decided to disobey me and keep going. So, and that was, you know, and she died. She got hit by a car that day. So, you know, a lot of people, I think, will feel like that there's kind of this choice. Either the dog's going to run free and have a happy life, or the dog is always going to have to be on the end of a leash, and but at least they'll be safe.
Yeah, and let me just say that again for anybody listening, that unless you have impeccable control, like it says on the clip on the website, the one on YouTube, there's some text there right at the start of it saying don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Unless you have a really, really advanced level of training. The dogs that are running beside my bike, that bike, as you'll see, the camcorder's in a truck, and we're just on a, you know, it's not a super busy road, but nonetheless, you've got to always, always err on the side of caution. So just want to say that dog owners, unless you really can predict your dog's behavior and you know you've tested over and over in controlled settings or fenced areas, you can't afford to take a chance unless, you know, you've really done your due diligence and you know exactly how your dog's going to react every time.
Yeah, and I would think that there'd be a lot of people who would just be afraid to take the risk of letting their dog run off leash. How do you feel about that? Do you think? Obviously, in your YouTube videos, the dogs are off leash. A lot of dog trainers seem to really rely upon that leash. Without the leash, they really can't even have control over a dog. That's another thing that really fascinated me about your training, is how you were getting the dogs to respond without a leash or an electronic collar. Just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I don't believe dogs can. Look, I always try to put myself, once again, in the position of the dog, and I really believe that dogs cannot really fulfill all of their needs, even exercise-wise. When they're on leash, dogs cannot use the running, jumping, power-turning muscles when they're on leash. It's like you going to the gym and just doing curls with your left arm for 20 minutes. You cannot get a complete workout. So in my mind, how could I put this? I just said, just a few moments ago, I said, owners, keep your dogs on leash when you're in traffic situations.
Right.
I'm absolutely certain how your dog's going to react, and I stand by that. That said, I would like to see owners put in the time to get their dogs trained by this concept or any other concept they want, where they can unclip the leash and, you know, starting in zero traffic situations, they can get to the point that they know, it doesn't matter that seagull, that cat, that squirrel, that rabbit, they know how their dog's going to react. And, you know, getting there, for the average dog owners, they're going to have to put in some time, they might have to, you know, go to classes, buy some DVDs, you know, keep talking to friends, find things at work, buy my DVDs, whatever it takes. But, you know, if they're willing to put in the time, they will find a way. If they're positive thinkers and they believe in themselves and they believe in their dog, they will find a way to get there. And once you've got to that place where you don't need the leash 24/7, it's a thing of beauty. You can really, really enjoy your dog and you can trust them.
I think that's so true. Actually, I'm moving into a situation now where there's a lot of deer and there's a lot of cougar, and I want my dog to be able to run and jump and use all those muscles, just like what you were talking about. But I'm not afraid of cars, because I'm really facing 300 acres of Bureau of Land Management land, which is basically an unsettled forest. But it's the wildlife. It's, you know, scaring up a deer and running into a cougar that I worry about. So for a situation like that, would that be a good training ground? If you know that your dog is going to be smelling a lot of deer and that they like to chase deer, what would you recommend? Does the dog owner just need to take their dog somewhere else entirely?
Let's go back a step. For anybody listening that has a young puppy or they're going to be getting a puppy in the future, this is the best age to start the concepts that we've been exploring this evening, whether it's the whole pack in motion concept, the run, hide and seek, the change directions. When you start with a puppy that's 7, 8, 9 weeks old, you don't have to go great distances. You know, just start short. Keep your sessions very short. You don't need the same speed as you do with an adult dog. But all of these concepts, when you start them with a young puppy, generally the faster I see these concepts working is not with the adult dogs, it's with the young puppies. So does that make sense? If anybody has a young puppy and or they're getting one, if
right.
they're young, and they start, you got to start introducing distractions right away. Start, you know, doing it around other dogs, people, skateboarders, and then graduate to other places where there's, you know, seagulls, squirrels, you name it.
Yes.
Cats. You can get to the point where you introduce distractions gradually. And by the way, we haven't finished this conversation. Like I said, there's a lot of little things. One thing we need to touch on is how to introduce distractions and when to pull back from distractions. That's a whole other conversation. But you can get to the point with the average dog very, very quickly where it doesn't matter what the distraction is. They're going to run past it. They won't even turn around to look at it once their mind is really set on staying with the pack. So,
okay, so I got one last question for you here, Ben. Okay, maybe there's two more questions, but we are starting to come up to the end of our hour. This hour just flew by. How do you know your training works? What if you're some kind of a Pied Piper?
Well, I know it works because I'm going to come back to something I said earlier. The clips that you'll see on YouTube, let me just think about that for a sec. The DVDs that we sell are unedited, continuous footage. The problem with a lot of products out there or training concepts is you don't get to see the whole thing, whether it's a TV show or what have you. And with our DVDs, the concept is seen from, it's like, here's me at the start of the session, here's me at the end. There's not one break in the footage, and the viewer gets to see the entire progression from start to finish. Does that make
okay.
sense? You can see that it works because it's not like here I started today and okay, we're going to resume filming on Saturday. So that's one answer to your question. There's a few other key components. I'm not sure how close we are to 10 o'clock here, but I think the bottom line being that the DVDs are part of the answer. Do you want me to keep going? Do I have time?
Well, you know, again, I think maybe you missed the point that I was trying to make. I said, I think that dogs really like you.
Oh, here, you know what? I know how I can answer that. Have your listeners try it, okay? Not the listeners that have dogs that are known livestock chasers or deer chasers, but people that have just Joe average dogs, and, you know, they don't listen so well. They tell them come, and they do it when they want to. just, you know, Joe, average dog owners that are listening, have them try it. Just, again, two sessions, 20 minutes each. If on the third day their dog is looking at them like they've never looked at them before, or they're sticking with them like they've never stuck with them before, we'll both know that this works.
Oh. Okay. And when you say have them try it, you mean try moving ahead of the dog, playing hide-and-seek, going woo woo woo, and changing direction whenever the dog loses interest?
Exactly, but once again, there's two main things that make it work. Number one is not doing it back and forth on a football field. I mean, it can work, but going the distance, minimum, you know, if you can go half a mile or more, that's the results. And the other thing is the speed. So if they have a, you know, roller blades or dirt bike where there's a trail, those are the two key ingredients right there.
Okay. And can they also, if they are a jogger, would it work?
Yes, if they're a jogger and they got no running injuries. Now, especially if they're, let's call it a runner, okay?
Okay.
if it's a jogger going at a slow pace, again, it's just not nearly as stimulating for the dogs.
Okay.
When that speed is involved. So if you got a jogger that likes jogging slow, tell them to bring their mountain bike that day.
Yeah. And what about this? Could somebody walk at a fast clip with a toy in their hands?
Yes, but again, that's a whole different conversation. And what I wanted to do this evening was not get into the other, you know, there's four concepts total that we've been harnessing over the years to gain control in day-to-day situations.
Okay, can you reiterate those for our listeners who may just have joined us in the last 15 minutes? The four key concepts again are?
Absolutely. By the way, we have not covered them, so we'll cover them for the first time right now.
Okay.
Our Volume 1 video, or DVD, whatever you want to call it, it's a video if you're getting the download, that is all about how to use food with young puppies or dogs that are totally new to the game, and it's about the proper use of food. Anybody can toss food at a dog, but this is showing how to use food to get really fast results. One of my clips on YouTube gives you know, a heads up, as you know, it's a free 5-minute clip. So some viewers might want to check that out. That's number one. Number two, our Volume 2 DVD is all about what we call formal training. That does not involve any food. It doesn't involve any toys. Doesn't involve any pack and motion concepts. So I could go on with that one, but I want to just finish up here. Number three, or Volume 3, whether it's the DVD or the download, all revolves around the use of toys, okay? Anybody can toss a ball or play tug with a dog. We show very, very specific movements and concepts that really, really reap amazing dividends. So for those that cannot do the whole pack of motion concepts, or they don't like the whole food concept, you know, that might be for them.
Okay.
And so the last one, number four, is what we've been talking about for the past hour, the pack and motion concepts. So four very different and unique training tools.
Okay.
You subscribe to.
I get it. And I'm assuming that it doesn't matter what order you go in. Should you start with the food, go to the formal, and then the toys, then the pack and motion? Or can you kind of do this a la carte and just order one of your DVDs, whichever one appeals to you?
The DVDs, just one at a time, generally will not work. And, you know, we tell people that you know, if they're getting the downloads are cheaper, they're $15 each now. And if they're getting four downloads, it's $60 total. So
that's a very inexpensive class.
Yeah, if you're getting just one DVD or download, you're not going to understand, like you're not going to have all of the info there. So there's nine of them all together. Even if just four of them are purchased, then you have enough info to make it work.
All right. Hey, Ben, I'm sorry we're going to have to end. It's really been a great program. I've learned a lot, and one of the things I learned from our conversation tonight, there's a lot more to learn.
I've learned more in the past 2 years than I have any time over the past 30 And that's the great thing about it. You just keep on being amazed at how much there is to discover when it comes to
yeah.
your three friends.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're well worth it. Once again, that website, wonderdogs.bc.ca. And this has been Ben Kirsten and the Wonder Dogs Training LTD. Ben, thanks so much for joining us in the Shame Free Zone.
Thanks for having me, Veronica. You have a great evening.
You too. Good night.
Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian, kenapa tak mentus kabar berita?